May God add his blessing to the reading of the scripture this morning, and may the words from my mouth be just what we need to hear. During the gold rush in California, an old prospector walked into a saloon, and he ordered a milk and whiskey. While the bartender was pouring his glass of milk and mixing the whiskey in walked another man wearing a black coat. He said to the bartender, "Sir, I'm a poor traveling Methodist circuit rider preacher. I've just made it across the desert, and I'm bone dry. You think I could have that glass of milk that you just poured?" The bartender smirked, said, "Sure," with a twinkle in his eye. "We're glad to have you in town. Drink up." The preacher drank that milk in a real slow sort of way, savoring every drop. When he got all finished, he looked up toward the ceiling and he said, "Lord, what a cow." This morning, we're going to talk about the abundant goodness of God. What a generous, bounteous God we serve. Our text that Shelley just read for us tells a story that most, I think, all of us are familiar with. The feeding of the multitude. How many were there that day, I don't know. Depends on your interpretation. Many call it the feeding of the 5,000. You know the story. It's a story of God providing for his people. The focus is on food, but the lesson is really about life. A multitude of people had come out to hear Jesus teach. Many had probably come looking for a miracle of healing. And I'm sure some just came out of curiosity to see who this man was. And then Jesus said, "These people are hungry. How can we go get some bread for everyone?" And the disciples weren't able to scrounge up enough money to even begin to feed this mob. So Andrew comes to the rescue. He said, "There's a boy here who has 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. But what good's that going to do us among all these thousands of people?" Jesus said, "Relax. Tell the people to sit down. We can do this." We experience God's generosity, first of all, when we take time to relax, when we take time to sit down. Mother Teresa once said that the biggest problem facing the world was not the people dying in the streets of Calcutta. She said the biggest problem is what she called spiritual deprivation. She described this as a feeling of emptiness, a feeling of feeling separate from God and feeling separate from our brothers and sisters on the planet Earth. There are many people very near to us each and every day who we pass in the store, who we work with, who we see next door in their yard mowing their grass. Many people who know that kind of emptiness. Before Christianity came to Hawaii, people used to sit outside their temples for long periods of time before they dared to go in and say their prayers. They spent that time praying and meditating and preparing themselves before they went in. And then they would kind of creep up to the altar, offer their prayers, and then they would go back outside and sit a long time again, this time to breathe life into their prayers. Then when the Christians came, they said they just went into church, went up, said a few sentences, and left. And for that reason, back in those days, many of the Hawaiian people called the Christians heolis, which means without breath. those who failed to breathe life into their prayers. May I suggest we often forget to set aside time to breathe life into our prayers. We're so busy getting caught up in all the things that we need to do in what I call the rat race. We're so pressed for time that we forget to take time for the most important thing. We cut out what we need to do the most to get us through that rat race for that day. You may have heard of Jean-Henri Fabre. He was a French naturalist, and his processional caterpillars. I don't know if any of you have ever heard this story. He saw some of these caterpillars as he was walking through the woods one day, and he noticed that they were marching in a long, unbroken line, straight line. And he thought, wouldn't it be fun to take a bunch of these caterpillars and put them around the rim of a flower pot and see if they follow each other in a circle? And so he caught enough of them to fit around that rim of the flower pot. He placed them nose to rear, and he started them around this circle. For days, they walked around and around and around in a circle, one following the other. There was food very nearby, but it wasn't in their path. And guess what happened? They all starved to death in their endless march to nowhere, going in circles. That seems to be the story of many people today. They feel like they're on a march that leads to nowhere. We need to stop as followers of Christ. We need to stop. Take a moment and just sit down in the presence of Jesus. You know, we have this idea in our minds that praying is either speaking out loud or saying something. I think some of my best prayer times have been times when I've said nothing. I've come in here, sat up high in the balcony, and just, or in my office, or at home, doesn't matter where you are, but oftentimes it's been in the sanctuary where I just sit. And not because of this building, but because I take time to just think about nothing and allow myself to be in the presence of God. It's important. Try it sometime. So we need to sit down. We need to be in the presence of Jesus. Then we need, secondly, to receive what God offers us. Just like the multitude received the loaves and the fishes as they were distributed to them. Dr. G. Campbell Morgan went to visit a member of his church one day, and he was sad to hear that she was going to be evicted from her home because she wasn't able to pay the rent. It was on a Saturday afternoon that he visited her, so that Sunday morning, he asked the congregation if they could take up a special offering in order to pay her rent. And so they did, and they raised enough money to do that. On Sunday afternoon, he went to her house, knocked on her door, because now he had enough money to pay for her rent for her. No answer. He's thinking, I can't wait to tell her the good news. He knocks again. Still no answer. What a disappointment. He went away feeling disappointed that day. He later learned that she was there all the time. She was just afraid that it was the landlord knocking at the door, wanting his rent money. Sometimes God calls. We don't answer the door. We shut out the very one who can meet our needs. God wants to provide. God's nature is to provide and care for us and to give us the things that we need. God is love. Love is always giving. If we're not receiving from God, the problem could be us. It could be that we're not asking and we're also not accepting, noticing when the offers are made. Sometimes we're just blind to God's wonderful generosity. We're like the people of America's first village. I think you all know this story too. During the winter of 1610, the population of Jamestown, here they were in this new land. And during that winter, the population went from 500 people to about 60 people. Most of the settlers starved to death. But the rest of the story is that there were plenty of natural resources all around them. But they were city people. They didn't know how to get their food from the land, so they starved. I think sometimes we do the same thing. God comes to us continually in the person of the Holy Spirit, and he guides us, and we miss it. As a loving father, he is there to meet our needs. It doesn't occur to us to pray. So we wander blindly from problem to problem, sort of like those early settlers who starved in a land of plenty, lots of resources. Jesus told his disciples, "Make the people sit down." Then he took the loaves. He gave thanks. He gave the loaves and the fish to all who were seated as much as they wanted. We also receive God's blessing when we sit down and wait, and when we receive what God has to offer us. Notice finally how John ends this story. So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments left by those who had eaten. And when the people saw the sign which he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world." When we sit and wait upon the Lord, and when we receive what God has to offer us, we learn that God is who he says he is. God is a generous provider for his children's needs. One of the lessons that Jesus tried to teach us was the extravagance of God. God is the God who provides. And he doesn't just provide. He provides abundantly. He sets before us a table in the midst of our enemies, the scriptures say. He fills our cup to overflowing. He's the God who, when wine is needed for the wedding feast, tells us to fill the water pots, fill them all the way to the brim. He's the God who, when the prodigal son returns home, says, "Kill the fatted calf and let's have a big party." Most of our worries would disappear in a second if we could lean back and rest ourselves on the extravagance of God's provision for his children. All of nature shows us God's generosity. Think about our universe. Did you know that if you could drill a hole in the sun and somehow put in 1.2 million Earths, that there would still be room left over for 4.3 million moons? Why? The sun is 865,000 miles in diameter and 93 million miles away from Earth. Pluto, still in our solar system, but it's in the opposite direction, is 2.7 billion miles away, and there are billions of other solar systems. We know that now. Why? What are they there for? I think maybe one purpose is for our enjoyment. I think another purpose may be to challenge us to always keep moving, to always keep looking farther, because there's more and more out there for us, not only in the universe, but right here where we are. Galileo put it this way: Quote, "The sun, which has all those planets revolving around it and depending on it for their orderly functions, can ripen a bunch of grapes as if it had nothing else in the world to do." And it doesn't. God has made a magnificent creation to provide for you and to provide for me, his children. If that doesn't boggle your mind, if that doesn't, I'll use the words, blow you away, then I don't know what will. But why such extravagance? Why such generosity? Why so much? Long ago, John Spencer offered an interesting theory. Here's what he said. Quote, "The Jewish rabbis taught that when Joseph, in the times of plenty, had gathered much corn in Egypt, he threw the chaff into the river Nile. His purpose was to convey, by means of the flowing river to cities and nations more remote, the good news of the abundance laid up, not for themselves alone, but for others also. So God, in his abundant goodness, to make us know what glory there is in heaven, has thrown some husks to us here in this world, that tasting the sweetness thereof, we might aspire to his bounty that is above, and draw out this happy conclusion to the great comfort of our precious souls, that if a little earthly glory do so much amaze us, what will the heavenly do?" Think about that. You look around at this beautiful world, this planet we have that God has created. We went on vacation and we were just utterly amazed by the beauty of nature that week. How much more beautiful will heaven be? Maybe he's given us all this beauty of the earth as a foretaste of much more beauty that's yet to come. Maybe it's just a foreshadowing. And then he goes on to say, "If he gives us so much in the land of our pilgrimage, what will he not give us in our own country? If he bestows so much on his enemies, what will he not give to his friends?" Maybe this is the reason for God's extravagance. He wants to prepare us for the greater extravagance of heaven. It reminds me of the old story of two fellows who died and went to heaven, and they're walking the streets of gold, and there was more beauty and more splendor and more joy than they ever had dreamed imaginable. It was better than they could have ever thought. And one of them looked at the other and said, "Isn't this wonderful?" And the other guy said, "Yeah, and to think we could have been here 10 years sooner if we just hadn't eaten all that healthy food." God has so many blessings. So there's a little incentive to, you know, go ahead and have that fried food and all that. God has so many blessings to pour out on all of us. All he asks us to do is to sit down, to receive what he has to give. What he has to give, he gives with great extravagance. I'll close with these words from the Apostle Paul from the book of 2 Corinthians. Listen carefully. "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man conceived what God has prepared for those who love him." What a generous, extravagant, bountiful God we serve. Amen.